Just like Achad, there's a lot of guys learning the third parak of Berachot, Mishimeto, and people often learn those sugyas of Hilchot Beit HaKiseh and Erva and Soa and think they're not so relevant. Just a few weeks ago on Shabbat in Yeshiva, I woke up a little bit late and I darted across the street to Yeshiva, and I wasn't really paying much attention to where I was walking. I got to Yeshiva in the middle of davening and middle of Kriyat HaTorah. I'm using a shtender and I'm smelling something. What is that? Is that soa? And then eventually the smell went away, and I continued, listening to the Torah reading. I got an aliyah, and then I actually sat back down, and as the haftarah was beginning, I smelled it again. I'm like, what is that smell? And I was using a shtender, and I had my feet propped up on the shtender, and I realized, I looked down, and I see that there was something on my shoes. I had stepped in something, some soa behema, from the soa kelev in the streets. So, and I realized that I just encountered a whole bunch of shaylas in Hilchot Soa. And this is extremely, extremely important, as my shacharit, my aliyah, and my Kriyat Shema, and etc., were all on the line here. So I had to make a cheshbon in Baruch Hashem, looking on Siman Ayin Vav, a lot of things became interestingly clear. Number one, the Gemara says that a person is Roet Soa Beguma, right? And you put your sandal on top of it, there's soa, there's some manure in a hole, you put your shoe on top of it, as long as you don't smell the manure anymore, it's mutar to recite Kiryat Shema. The Gemara, though, has a bayah d'lev shita, it's an unresolved issue, a question, what happens if your shoe is on the hole and it's actually touching the soa? In such a case, we don't say it is mutar to recite Kiryat Shema, we don't know. And bayah d'lev shita means it's a safek, a sfeika tadina. So a person recited Kriyat Shema b'di'avad, he should go back. But what about the Berachot? We say Safik Berachot Hakel on the Berachot. And therefore, I had to recite Kriyat Shema again without the Berachot. This was already after the Zman. It enters the Machloket about the Zman of Kriyat Shema. Is it really Mi'akev or not? It's the Magen Abraham, the Kesef Mishnah, Ayin Sham in Hilchot Kriyat Shema over there, and in Hilchot Kriyat Shema of the Rambam as well. But also, what about my aliyah? For my aliyah, my feet were planted on the floor. So the chaura, the tzoa was mechuse, and no one smelled anything when I got the aliyah. So even though I was touching the tzoa, the Baal Kori was not. So the chaura, the aliyah was good. The chaura, the aliyah was good. My shacharit, however, it's a makom d'lo havel lemeida. I should not have expected to find tzoa in the Beit HaMidrash. So my shacharit is now in machloket in achronim. If you look in the Kaf HaChaim, he quotes some who say that, listen, you're an anus and you have to be mitztayer on the fact that you encountered such a thing. Maybe you were yotzi, maybe you weren't. And then he quotes others who say, no, not like that levush. And say, no, you're an anus and don't worry about it, it's all good. B'diavad, you should do a tefillah nedava. You should do a tefillah nedava. But the thing is that we don't do nedava on Shabbat. So I wasn't able to do a tefillah nedava. All this, also, I had a shtender that was, unfortunately, had some tzoa scraped on it, and the floor also that needed to be cleaned on Shabbat, and entered shaylas of libun. How am I supposed to do that? So I did whatever I could without violating Nisa Deoraita on Shabbat. Black shoes, color shtender that was solid, Baruch Hashem, nothing was absorbed, and even the rug, nothing was absorbed in the rug. A little bit actually was, so that part I took care of after Shabbat. I took out that shtender in the middle of davening, which is funny, because I ended up moving three shtenders in the middle of davening. I had one shtender at the beginning of Shacharit, which I gave to one of my friends who clearly needed a shtender. He's vertically challenged, he's taller than me, and he didn't have a shtender. Then I found this shtender had soa in the middle of Kriyat HaTorah, so I had to take it out and like wipe it off a little bit, leave my shoes and the shtender outside. And then I used a different shtender for Shemona Yisrei. So when I started Musaf, I said, Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, and I looked down, I smelled, and I saw the soa. So I had to take that out also as the third shtender I had to take out, but I didn't take that out right away. I moved away Da'at Amot, and I recited Musaf, and then I realized that the shtender is still within somebody else's Melo Einayim. The person who davens behind me actually can still see the Tzoa, even though, albeit he doesn't realize he's seeing the Tzoa. He's focused on his Shemona Yisrei. So when I finish my Shemona Yisrei of Musaf, I actually had to take that shtender out also to prevent that guy from being mitpalel b'fnei hatzoa. All of this was Baruch Hashem, a crazy experience between Rabbi Rapp beginning the Berachot of the Haftarah and the end of Musaf that Shabbat morning. But certainly, it's clear that Hilchot Tzova applies not just when you're married with kids, but it can apply even just a regular guy living in Manhattan. After Shabbat, I went over to Rav Shechter on Sunday. He wasn't there for Shabbat. And I went over with him everything that I had said through. And other than the point about the Aliyah, he didn't address with me. He basically agreed with everything I said. So, Baruch Hashem. It was quite an enthralling experience to be living Hilchot Tzova in a very uncomfortable way. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen v'Amen.